Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Exodus chapter 8, verses 16 through 24. The Reverend Douglas Scrivenaugh is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Exodus chapter 8, beginning at verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth so that it may become gnats in all the land of Egypt." And they did so. Aaron stretched out his hand with his staff and struck the dust of the earth, and there were gnats on man and beast. All the dust of the earth became gnats in all the land of Egypt. The magicians tried by their secret arts to produce gnats, but they could not. So there were gnats on man and beast. Then the magicians said to Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." But Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and present yourself to Pharaoh as he goes out to the water, and say to him, 'Thus says the Lord, let my people go, that they may serve me. Or else, if you will not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies on you and your servants and your people, and into your houses. And the houses of the Egyptians shall be filled with swarms of flies, and also the ground on which they stand. But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the people. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen.' And the Lord did so. There came great swarms of flies into the house of Pharaoh and into his servants' houses. Throughout all the land of Egypt, the land was ruined by the swarms of flies." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I love and I hate those times when I feel like I'm back in the first day of my first class at seminary. When the only question on your head is, what does this mean? And you mean it with all of your heart. Now, for a very long time, I have, perhaps even somewhat uneducatedly, said, well, I like the one-year lectionary. Everything hangs together so much better. The Old Testament, the Epistle, the Collect, the Gospel, it all really fits, because they massaged it over so many years, and it just makes so much sense. Well, when I was in the parish, their practice was the three-year lectionary. So lo and behold, we come upon the third Sunday in Lent, oculi. And what happens? Out of nowhere come the plagues of Egypt. What does this mean? And I wrestled with it. And then finally, as I was sitting in chapel yesterday, it was the gospel reading for the third Sunday in Lent in the one-year lectionary, and we heard of Jesus casting out demons. Ah, yes. He's casting him out in the name Beelzebub. Or if you read another translation, there's a small textual variant, Beelzebul. Beelzebub meaning the Lord of flies. Beelzebul meaning the Lord of dung, which of course has flies. And then it hit me. The fourth plague, the flies. Well, that's why they put it all together. See, those one-year guys were pretty smart, right? Well, no, it really came down to that same age-old battle of faith and unbelief. God and Pharaoh. Believers, Moses, Aaron. An unbelieving man. Now, I was thinking to myself, throughout this narrative, Pharaoh is spoken of as having a hard heart. It's a Hebrew phrase, and there's really two that are used, sometimes three. One is a hearkening back to that ancient Egyptian practice of the dead, and their heart would be weighed against a feather. If it was heavy, they were condemned. If it was light and pure, they were redeemed, according to Egyptian lore. And so when Pharaoh's heart is hard, it sometimes recalls that he stands condemned. Sometimes, when his heart is hard, it simply means he's being in a good old German, stubborn, unmoved, unlistening. Now, it's unfair to call the Germans that, even though most of my blood is there. 23andMe told me this, right? No, that's really man's condition. Hard of heart, hard of head, and worse, hard of hearing. Satan and his fallen angels, the devil and his demons, are as real today as they have ever been. But in our hardness of heart, we say, oh no, they are but myth. There is no danger. It comes back to the hardness of man's heart, our stubbornness, our refusal to see the danger. Now, our first and perhaps greatest folly was to think ourselves to be like God. We go back to the garden with the temptation, the knowledge, the fruit. We shall be as God. And when that didn't pan out, what has sinful man done? Well, if I can't be God, then God doesn't exist. And our heart grows hard, and our mind grows hard. Because if we are not strong enough, powerful enough to be as God, we dismiss him. And with him, we dismiss the adversary, Satan. Crouching at the door. Sin's desire contrary to us, but we refuse to see. We refuse to listen. Oh, Satan plays the part well. By all appearances, he looks as a god. If we think back to the first encounter of Moses and Aaron before Pharaoh, just as God had predicted, Pharaoh says, "Prove yourselves. Perform a miracle." And as he was instructed, Aaron cast down his staff, and it turned to a serpent. Pharaoh then called each of us before him. Because the magicians that Exodus speaks of over and over again, we're told, are wise men and sorcerers. I see in myself the wise men. Perhaps one of my greatest weaknesses is when people call me stupid. Especially when they say, "You believe in a sky daddy. How do you believe in these fairy tales? Aren't you smart? Aren't you a wise man?" Of course, as a youngster too, there's always that wonder of the power of being able to perform magic. And as my youth, I actually believed that David Copperfield perhaps had some gifts from the other world. But in truth, Satan does have power. There are sorcerers who are tapping into these demonic powers. The world is beset by the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work and the sons and daughters of disobedience. So, of course, the magicians come forward, and their staffs become snakes as well. And Satan says, he whispers to us, "See, God's not such a great thing. He's not so wonderful. I can do the same thing." Moving on. Moving on, because what happens next? The staff that God had turned into a serpent devours the snakes that the wise men and sorcerers had cast down. Scripture doesn't tell us if it was by the power of the devil or it was by the power of some trickery, but these snakes were no more. Hardened hearts still, Pharaoh was unmoved. What do we do with our hard hearts? What are we to do when we have grown indifferent, cold, unbelieving? Or on the other hand, when we have grown so sure of our knowledge and our understanding that we almost think we don't need God because we understand theology so well. As we grow cold, indifferent, and hard, I think of the word of God in the fourth plague. Back to Beelzebul, Beelzebub, the Lord of flies, the flies upon Egypt. God says this will happen. This is his sign. He makes a distinction. On that day, I will set apart the land of Goshen where my people dwell. Thus, I will put a division between my people and your people. Literally, in Hebrew, God says, thus I will set a redemption between my people and your people. Set then down, descending into the earth, becoming one with creation, God himself comes. Incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, God is made man. To fight the hardness of our hearts. Indeed, to crush and break us in our folly. The hard heart encounters the stone the builders rejected. Because in their folly, they would not let themselves see, hear, believe, or trust in the one true God. And so we are told that the stone that the builders rejected, the one that has become the cornerstone, if anyone falls upon it, he will be broken. And if it falls upon anyone, he will be crushed. But that is how our Lord works, with signs and wonders. By his word, the law comes. We cast ourselves on the stone of Jesus that our hearts may break, that the stone may be shattered, that our folly might finally be put to death, our heart no longer hardened, but poured back together into a living, breathing, beating heart, filled with the gospel. Enlivened by the Word of God, guided by the Holy Spirit. And yet, in our stubbornness, we may still refuse, as Pharaoh did. And on the last day, that stone will fall upon the hard hearts, the hard ears. We pray to the Lord, his kingdom come. For it will come without our bidding, but we pray that it will come to us also. That as the stone is placed before us, the redemption set between unbelief and belief, we cast ourselves on Jesus, that we may be broken, and that we be made in his name. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.